Well, good morning, everyone. Praise Jesus that we can be here today and meet. Amen? Yeah, we've learned very quickly over these last several months, and we see the news across the nation. We are blessed that we can gather together. You know, the church is the assembly, the called out ones. And so we are here meeting together, and we are just blessed to do that. There's something powerful. You know, Paul writes about the church, and God has assembled the church in the way that he sees fit, that the joints are connected to the bones, and everything is put together in its proper order. And that's how God uses churches across the world to fulfill his will on this earth. Amen? So praise the Lord. So we're just glad to be in the house of the Lord today. One of the things that we do as a church, we have communion. The word is almost self-describing. It's a common union. And the common union is Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to ask that you please stand just for a moment. I'm going to pray. And then I'm going to do is ask that you come up and simply take the elements. We are taking proper precautions under the circumstances. Simply grab your cup, grab a piece of bread, and you are welcome to go back to your seat. You're welcome to stay up here, because as soon as we're done, we're going to have some worship time as well. Of course, we're here to worship, and this is part of the worship service. So let's bow our heads. God, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for the bread and for the cup. We thank you, Father, that what it symbolizes, it's the body of Christ. Jesus says, "This is my body, which is broken for you." The juice in the cup, "This is my wine, this is my blood of the new covenant," you said. "My blood that was poured out for many." Those of us that stand here today, it was poured out for us. God, thank you for that amazing plan. And God, thank you, as your word says, Jesus says the night before he was betrayed, "Do this in remembrance of me as often as you do it. You remember my death until the Son of Man comes." So Father, today we come. It's a somber event, because we recognize the price that was paid by God the Father, the Son of God, crucified on the cross. But your word tells us, for the joy set before you, you endured that cross for us. So God, we thank you, Father, for the cup. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for communion. We thank you for the church. We thank you we can be here today in freedom, worshiping. We thank you for this nation. We thank you for our president. We thank you for our families. We thank you that we can breathe. We have breath in our lungs. I thank you that I had legs and feet that carried me into the house of the Lord today. We thank you that we live on the greatest nation on the face of the earth. We thank you, God, most of all, for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, church? Praise Jesus. So God, as we prepare to take communion, dear God, we pray in Jesus' name that it will be so meaningful to us as we do this in remembrance of you. We thank you for the price you paid. In Jesus' name, amen. I would ask that those of you believers in Jesus Christ as your Savior, please come, take the elements, and then you feel free to return, and we'll take them together. So if you'll just hold them until you are instructed otherwise. the Word of God in the book of Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23, says this. The Apostle Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" May we eat together. In the same manner also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." May we drink together. Savior gave his life up willingly on the cross that day. But we also know that someday he is coming back. The Lamb of God will be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. In fact, in the book of Revelation, John gets that amazing appearance of this. There's this scroll, and no one was able to open the scroll. No one in heaven and no one on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll. Jesus said, "Then I saw the Lion of the tribe of Judah." He was worthy to open the scroll because he has spilled his blood for mankind. Amen, church? So we are going to sing about the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lion and the Lamb. We just pray that you'll worship with us. We are worshiping to God and him alone this morning. Amen? This is his service. Praise Jesus. The Lord Almighty. Okay. He is the Lion. He is the Lamb.
Amen.
Church, He is a God of miracles. He is a God of miracles. You study the Scripture. We know that Jesus Christ was and is today the God of miracles. He continues to perform His work on this earth through the miraculous power of His hand. Amen? Praise Jesus. He is the God of miracles. Come on, we have much to get excited about. Let's go. Let's sing this.
Reaching out to make me whole. praise you, God. We lift our voice and our hands to you this morning, Jesus, because we believe, Lord. Beautiful name you are, God. What a beautiful and powerful name. Beautiful, wonderful, powerful name, God. what a powerful name Jesus is.
As we go into this next song, I'm mindful it's found in Mark chapter 6, I believe, that the disciples had been commissioned to go out and to do ministry. Jesus had sent the 12 out, and they came back, and they were telling how miraculous the power and the name of Jesus Christ was. But he could see that they were weary, they were tired, and Jesus said, come away with me to a lonely place to spend time with me. And it says they got into the boat. They actually went out on the Sea of Galilee, and they just got away from it all. And there's times, church, that we just need to come away with Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to separate from what's going on in the world. We need to separate and unplug what we're seeing on the screen. We need to stop what's coming into our ears that's not run through the filter of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because anything else is false. Anything else falls short. So we're singing as we sing this next song, come away with me. It's Jesus talking to his church, to his bride. Come away with me. It's never too late. It's never too late. Amen, church. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Never too late, it's not too late, it's not too late for you. I have a plan for you, I have a plan for you. It's gonna be wild, it's gonna be. up your heart and let me in. Open up your heart and let me in. Open up your heart. Open up your heart and let me in.
Sometimes we forget to just stop for a moment and just come into the presence of the one who sees all and knows all. The one who has our life carved in the palm of his hand. The word says, "See, I will not forget you, for I've carved you in the palm of my hand." Just take a moment and just imagine the glory of God, the majesty of the Father sitting on the throne. I know we don't know exactly what he looks like. He's manifested himself in fire and smoke and storm. And we can picture the throne of God in heaven in our imagination. Do you know that that's one of the reasons why we've been given an imagination? Because God shows us things there. How many of you know that that's where he saw you before you were formed? Do you know that that's where he saw Adam? That he saw him in his imagination, that God saw him, and out of what he saw, he made what he saw. When our imaginations are sanctified and they're focused on the truth and they're focused on the things of God, God comes alive in that place. But oftentimes our imagination has been cast off as just an imagination, but it's not true. It's not true. We see first in what is unseen. which opens our physical bodies and our physical minds to the reality of things that are unseen. I remember when they were walking on the road to Emmaus and Jesus appeared to them, but they didn't know who he was. And this he's been dead 3 days. And they're on their way to Jerusalem, and they didn't even recognize that he was walking with them. And Jesus began to talk with them. And Cleopas said, do you not know what about Jesus? Do you not know all the things that just happened? And Jesus said, what things? He knew exactly what had happened, because it was Jesus himself. And Jesus eventually enabled them to know, and he opened their minds, and they recognized that he had been with them. He actually broke bread with them, and immediately their eyes were opened and he vanished. The reality of God with us all the time is a matter of perception. It's a matter of knowing when we've come into an encounter with God. Just let God occupy that area right now. Instead of occupying that area, your imagination with fears, with criticisms, with what we perceive has come against us, things that haven't even yet happened yet but have an impact on our life, in our imagination, God, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you sanctify every imagination in this house. I don't know if you've ever thought about that before, but God has given you an imagination. He gave that to you. It's not fake. It's not fairy tale, but it is what you allow to see in it. Do you see things in your imagination? I know we all do. But right now, I just feel like God wants to sanctify our imagination, to set it apart for his use, not the devil's use. Not to put fear in our minds, not to think about things that draw us away from intimacy, but fill our imagination with things that draw us to him. And imagine the heavenly places. Imagine what's been written in the prophets and the things that Ezekiel has seen that are way out there, but that's what he saw. Those are things in the heavenly places that are not seen here. God encounters us in that place. So right now, Holy Spirit, forgive us, God, for allowing our imaginations to run away with things that are not of you. We allow our imagination to identify people and to say things about other people that no one's ever said or we've never heard. Do you let the enemy define your spouse for you? Because that's not how God defines them. If it's not a blessing, if it's not destiny oriented, if it's not towards greatness, if it's not towards love, and you take that scenario and you put it in anything else in your life, if it's not good, if it's not God, get rid of it. Cast it out. Your imagination is being used by the devil. I don't know why I'm on this morning. It really wasn't where I was going. So Lord, right now, forgive us, God, for allowing the devil to use our imaginations to carry us to places that you never meant us to go. And I ask God that by your blood, that you cleanse our imaginations right now. I just apply the blood to every imagination in this house. And I cast out every wicked spirit that is influencing it in Jesus' name. Because God, we want to come away with you and we want to see you and you alone.
Lord, we love you. We invite you into this house. We invite you into our hearts.
Open up your heart.
Do we just want to do that song again? Let's do it again. Let's just linger here for a little bit. I just feel the presence of God on this song.
Open up your heart and let me in. Open up your heart
and let me in. Open up your heart.
We love your presence. We love your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can be seated. I'm going to be reading in 1 Kings 18. Verse 41. 1 Kings 18, 41. I just love the presence of God. He just so desires to be with us. He's just drawing us in right now. The Lord, He knows what's going on. He knows exactly what's going on right now. He draws all men unto Himself. You know that? The Word of God says that. He draws you all the time. It's us that gets busy. It's us that gets distracted. We fill our minds with other things rather than Him. He's just really pulling on us this morning. I'm not sure all what my husband has in the message today, but an encounter awaits you. I just feel like an encounter awaits you. And just be prepared to step into it. Be prepared to grab a hold of it. Be prepared. You know, when your mind and your heart is opened to the presence of God, and it's almost like you feel a quickening in your spirit and you're just awakened to something that God is doing. You step into it. Spend time there. Relish it. Grab a hold of it. Allow the Spirit of God to deposit into your heart.
Yes.
What's on His mind, not what's on ours. And He just fills us. He just...
Thank you, Jesus.
That's what an encounter is. He just opens the Word. He opens Himself to us. Just be prepared for that, because they're coming. It's coming. If you're positioned for it this morning, you're going to get it.
Amen.
1 Kings 18:41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And seven times he said, "Go again." Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." So he said, "Go up and say to Ahab, 'Prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you.'" Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then the Lord said to him, "Go and return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him."